Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Good morning, Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison with you here on a Thursday. I get to open things up today, and we'll tell you a little bit about some news that's going on, and then Matt will have a whole lot more information for you here in just a couple of moments. Big news, I think, as far as local fans are concerned, Romeo Langford being invited to be in the green room for the NBA draft. His name was added along with Nasir Little and Tyler Hero to be in the green room along with the list that was provided earlier. And I think that's big news. I think that's something that's very special. Certainly glad that he was added. And the only bad thing, I've seen people sitting in that green room for beyond the time they thought they would be drafted, and they are the most unhappy-looking people in the world at that point. Don't think that's going to happen to Romeo, but it will happen to somebody. It does every year. It's caught part of a mock draft on ESPN last night that had Romeo Langford going to Detroit. That has been a popular destination for Romeo for a lot of the mock drafts that have gone around. But to me, there are so many unknowns, always is, but so many unknowns about will there be a trade for Anthony Davis? Will there be other trades? Will people move up or move down to get a particular player that fits their needs and profile? And we'll just have to wait and see. But his name is being mentioned. Looks like good things are going his way. I think the cast is coming off, if I heard right, yesterday. I believe you said that, or somebody told me that yesterday.
I haven't seen anything official. There have been lots of rumors about it. Thanks, by the way, for opening things up today. But, you've got to wonder. He's working out. He's doing some preparatory things on the West Coast at the Kobe Bryant facility. And things have been fairly tight-lipped, you know. I mean, it's not like we don't know the people involved or whatever, but it's been pretty quiet. And again, there have been lots of rumors about, you know, even when he was at the Combine, which has been back in the middle of May, so essentially a month ago, there were rumors then that he was getting close to healthy, and that when he appeared in that television interview, he still had the wrap on. A couple photos I've seen, he still has the wrap on, but I've, as a local person, and again, I have a great connection to Romeo, as I think most people feel in this area, watching him as a young kid become a high school player, win a state championship, and do great things. The best news that I've heard in a while, with, I don't want to say lots of negatives about him, but maybe some doubters and things that, you know, do they appreciate what he did, even with an injured hand in Indiana? And, you know, could he have had a better season? Possibly, but what he did accomplish is still pretty impressive, especially when you factor in the hand situation. But that said, great news, the green room invite. I know some people are like, who cares? It's just a pre-staging area, basically, for the draft. But it really is big news. It tells you that the momentum that in some of these good mock drafts out there that he seemed to have picked up after sliding even further down during or at the end of the college basketball season, he's a household name, I would say, in the NBA draft selection process. At least, you know, the NBA feels that way with their conversations leading up to next week's festivities in Brooklyn. So, good news for him. I know there's always – I read a story by the same guy that broke the news, Jonathan Givony of ESPN and Draft Express, that he had gotten the second round. Like, there were nine people initially that got a green room invite. Romeo was in the next group that he found out about, which was three additional players. I think he found out three more right after that, and there are supposed to be five, and I haven't checked it this morning to see if anybody else has gotten an invite. But the same guy that broke all that news, Jonathan Givony, is just ultra-connected. It's unbelievable, not just with kids in America like Romeo, but he knows the overseas stuff for the draft, which has become a huge component of the NBA draft. But he knows, or he just had a story about what you said, you know, green room invitees that have stalled a little bit, you know, or dropped to the second round. So it's not a for sure thing, but it's a good thing. You know, I'd rather have that invite to the green room and know you're going to be in there and you're going to be part of it. And maybe you face a little bit of embarrassment if Romeo slides out of the lottery late into the first round, but he's going to be a first-round pick, and I'm hopeful that he gets that Detroit selection, which is where I've seen slotted the highest most consistently.
Yeah, and you get a lot of FaceTime on TV when you're back in the green room. They're constantly flashing people back there and family members, whoever else is there with you, agents, whoever it may be. So it's an exciting time. You're on national television. It's always a good thing. And this is by far the closest that I have ever been to somebody in this position. Been watching basketball for a long, long time, but the opportunity just doesn't come up that often. And for me, this is the first time to actually know somebody that's in this position. And it's exciting for me just because I know what a great young man this young man is, and it just makes it fun.
I really don't have a gauge in this area how many people on an average year care about the NBA draft. I'd say when there's an IU player or someone somewhat local, maybe there's more interest. And I know that we're considered the Louisville market, which the Louisville market has tremendous for everything. The draft, summer league in Vegas, regular NBA games, playoff NBA games. The Louisville market has a tremendous ratings in television, which we fall under that market in the television ratings. But I really don't have a good gauge on the average fan, the average IU fan, the average college basketball fan, how much they watch the draft. I like it because, especially the first round, the way they present it to you at home, even if it's a name you know or don't know, you learn a lot about them. Oh, I did see that kid play, or oh, I remember this game, with all the highlights and basically the television package they have for each player. But it's a whole different feel with somebody you know and a local player in it, and I have a feeling that the TV numbers – from this area, the Louisville market, as it's called, will just be tremendous because everybody wants to be part of, I think, Romeo's journey. And I think there's also a hope from people that have supported and known Romeo since, you know, maybe middle school or were season ticket holders at New Albany games, that they might be proud of what he did at Indiana. He had some good moments, and yeah, he didn't shoot the ball like we became accustomed to at times at New Albany, but I think they're kind of hopeful this is a fresh start. I've run into a number of people that their only comment about Romeo in the draft has been, I hope he doesn't go to Indiana. Now, that's completely reversed from even Louisville fans when they knew, hey, we're potentially in a lot of problems here. Our coach is gone. We're in a rebuilding mode right now. There could be more penalties. A lot of Louisville fans that love Romeo and love watching him said, I hope he goes to Indiana so he can stay close. I wish he could come to Louisville, but it's just not feasible right now. So let's let him stay close and go to Indiana. So that was a big message, not just from IU fans. I mean, there were some Louisville fans, I'm sure. Oh, don't go to Indiana if you're not, you know, if you're not going to Louisville, don't go to Indiana. But there were a lot that you know, have some common sense here. Let's keep the kid in the area, you know. And I would have felt the same way if Romeo wasn't considering Indiana or Indiana had been in some kind of problems. Let's keep him close. I mean, it's going to be fun to follow. It doesn't matter where he's at. Yes, we look at IU first, but it's going to, let's keep him close and in the area. That said, I don't get that same sentiment from a lot of people when it comes to, oh, maybe he'll drop to 18 and go to the Pacers. I feel like people want him, and the people that have followed him just outside of even the IU thing want him to get a fresh start and can't wait to see what he does this summer league play, where he gets drafted ultimately. That's the first thing. That's what's up next. But I get a real feeling that people are into it. You know, coming out of high school, he was red hot. His announcement was huge. Going into IU his freshman year, there was nothing like that Hoosier hysteria when his name was called with the graphics and the way they did everything that day. It was an amazing time. And early in his freshman year, and even throughout his freshman year, the hype was unreal. But since the college years ended and NCAA tournament wasn't in the cards for him or the Hoosiers, maybe a little momentum lost, but I feel like that's building back with the draft 1 week from today. We'll know 1 week from tonight. So going to be fun, going to be interesting to follow, and try to savor it all in because, Lee, I don't know that either one of us will have another NBA draft pick from the immediate area, at least. There'll be plenty more from the state of Indiana and from Indianapolis and elsewhere, but it's hard to get them from your immediate area, and it's going to be fun to see how this all plays out.
It is, and it's been a fun time the last few years. We've got Drew Ellis that's playing at the AA level in the Pro Baseball minor leagues. We've got Josh Rogers that's at the AAA level, and we've had the opportunity to interview both of those guys and know Josh well, know his parents and so on, and it's just kind of a continuation of athletes coming out of this area that we have interviewed and on some part of a part of the Hoosier Report, whether it be our preseason shows or whatever. But you get to feel that you know them a little bit, and as they progress in college and progress on into the pros or become coaches or whatever, it's just a fun time, and it adds a little bit extra in the way that you follow the games and the people.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going to be maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see where he goes, and then from that point forward, I'm sure that guys like you and me and many, many others listening will probably, especially in that first year, watch a lot more NBA to see.
Is there an NBA package?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, okay. Just like the Dodger package, okay. There's an NBA package, so you could – you could buy the whole league or you could buy his team and follow it that way. But I'm sure there'll be a lot of people from New Albany in this area doing that and hoping he finds his way into some meaningful minutes, which I think that he will. And it's going to be fun to follow a fresh start for him. So I'm hoping for Detroit. That's my personal pick. Seem to be a lot of buzz out there about that. There have been a lot of a number of stories written from the Detroit Free Press and their NBA beat writer for the Pistons about their needs for the draft. And it seems like, at least from what this guy's vantage point is, that Romeo could fill some of those needs. So if there ever was such thing as cheering for a player to go somewhere in the draft and you're not really a fan of a certain team, I wouldn't mind to see him go to Detroit. Plus, it's a fairly reasonable drive. And, again, I would say there will be people at a number of his games, especially early on from this area because of the reputation he has and what he did for the area and that sort of thing. So it's going to be fun. 1 week from tonight, Lee, we'll be taking that all in. It'll be the last night of summer league for me personally, which is just an absolute bear and an all-day thing, Mondays and Wednesdays at Moore and Tuesdays and Thursdays at New Albany. But I can assure you, somewhere, somehow, I'll be watching the first round of the NBA draft. It might be on my phone. It might be on a TV in Jim Shannon's office. It might be, I don't know where it'll be, but it'll be somewhere. We'll finagle that at New Albany High School during summer league so we can watch.
The other good thing about going to Detroit, we'll be able to get tickets.
Yeah.
Because they're not selling out
right
now. So that at least tickets will be available.
Exactly, exactly. So a lot more Romeo talk to come, probably some today and definitely some in the future. One other headline before we get into the rest of the program and tell you who the guests are going to be. This was a little surprising on the recruiting front last night. There probably has been no hotter player on the recruiting trail as far as a player that's going to be a senior next year than Nigel Pack of Lawrence Central, who committed last night to Kansas State. He just recently received an offer from Kansas State. He had a number of coaches watching him at the Nike EYBL stuff back in the one weekend that coaches could be on the road. He's added a number of additional offers. A lot of people said, hey, don't be surprised if Indiana watches and follows and perhaps down the road a little bit offers a scholarship. And I think the same was maybe true with Purdue as well. But he takes a different route, obviously not wanting to wait and see what happens with some of the other high major schools in the area. I think his biggest offer locally was Butler, locally. He had some other mid-majors and some other offers some other places as well. But Nigel Pack off the board, he will be a very good player this year for Lawrence Central. Lawrence Central, I would think, with what they have returning, would have to be one of the top contenders in Class 4A basketball for next season. So a little surprised to see him come off the board. We're just starting to get back into the recruiting period later this month. college coaches will be able to go to some high school events, and which is new this year, and watch players with their high school teams. Also, next month, you've got one weekend of old school, which is crazy to call it old school, but traditional, you know, shoe circuit AAU tournaments that the weekend is live for certain events for coaches to attend. And then the NCAA having these new regional camps. The local, the Midwest region is going to be over at in Illinois, but for players to go to and the college coaches will be at. So that's going to be some upcoming opportunities for coaches to see players of all levels, including Nigel Pack. So kind of thought if a decision would come, you know, maybe after that sort of thing, late July, August, you start seeing more and more decisions for kids that are going to be seniors next year. But Nigel Pack gets it done to Kansas State. So an in-state player that I have said this, and I think many others have said this on this show, very possibly not just in Indiana but in the Midwest, one of the hottest players as far as rising prospect status this spring since the conclusion of the high school season until now. So definitely a little surprised when he tweeted that out last night, but nonetheless, Nigel Pack to Kansas State. So an in-state guy is off the board. One other headline, we talk a lot about Summer League. I'll tell you some of the games tonight that begin here in just a few minutes at New Albany High School. It's basically a full day of games to take place. But I'll tell you, the neat opportunity, I think, in Summer League with the kids able to play for their high school teams are the opportunity to go to college campuses and play. And we've talked a lot about why the Archie Miller team camp is so important to IU's recruiting and the impact that it's had. That's kind of been a familiar topic this time of year with these team camps going on, and Archie Miller still has another Saturday session forthcoming. But yesterday, I know that at Indiana State, Silver Creek was there. Of course, Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby would both be Indiana State prospects. Both have offers from the Sycamores. They took on a very good Heritage Hills team from southwestern Indiana, who very likely, if things play out months from now like we think they will, it could be Silver Creek and Heritage Hills playing deep in the state tournament in a very important game. But they played yesterday. Silver Creek won that game. It was a big summer game. You know, again, you're talking about a handful of parents there. It's at Indiana State. The game's played in the middle of the afternoon. There's no crowd. There's no cheerleaders. There's nothing on the line. But those kids know, and the coaches know, too, that this could be a big matchup in southern Indiana for the right to, you know, compete for a state championship the next season. But it's really neat for the kids, not just for Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby, who had scholarship offers at Indiana State, but also for all the kids to get the chance to compete on college campuses. And last night, in fact, Scotty Davenport and Bellarmine have been doing this, I think, on Wednesday nights. They invite four teams or so, play a couple games, take a break. The Bellarmine team does a workout so the high school players can see not only how hard college players work and what a practice atmosphere is like at the college level, but also I think this is really important for some of our local schools to see, and players that have Division I dreams, how good Bellarmine is and how hard they work and how good of a program that Scotty Davenport and his staff have there. Then after a workout for 25, 30 minutes, two more games, get to see some different teams play, your own team gets to play, and that's the end of the night. So last night, New Albany was there. I think the week before, Silver Creek and Jeff were there. Last night, South Oldham, Wagner, a team from Tennessee there as well. Good, that, you know, kind of a small team camp, you could call it. Those opportunities, whether it's Bellarmine on a Wednesday night, whether it's Indiana and Archie Miller's team camp on a Saturday and you're going to make an overnight trip of it, whether it's Purdue, Jeffersonville's been to Purdue, Jeff's been to Western Kentucky. There's a lot of other teams. I think Christian Academy was at Indiana State yesterday, and I know I'm missing a lot. But there are a lot of teams that take advantage and go to these college shootouts or college team camps. They really are good experiences and good opportunities just to be in that college atmosphere, see the campus, whether they ever have a chance of playing there or going to school there just as a student or not. I think it's really one of the benefits of the month. Not only do you get better with your team and you get to experiment if you're the coach and play the lineups that you're testing out for next season and give kids chances that may not get the chance in the regular season when you're a little tighter on things, but that's just something that struck me yesterday with all this summer ball that goes on. There are some positives to it, and of course there's negatives to it. I do like more time with the high school coach and the high school team as opposed to AAU or some of these shoe circuit teams that really don't practice. They just go play on the weekends. But nonetheless, I thought that was a good note last night, and it's amazing what Bellarmine has done. They've got their camps rolling over there. As I arrived last night, I bet there were 200-300 kids leaving with their parents in very orderly fashion. And he's got 4 or 5 weeks of camp. It just tells you how big the Bellarmine basketball brand has grown in really a short number of years. And he's done it. Bellarmine generally has done it. Coach Davenport definitely has done it with a lot of Southern Indiana guys. Saw Justin Betts from Providence over there last night with his team, and he was just happy and excited about the opportunity for next season. So just what a place that's become. And then you've got the Division I thing there hanging over their head. Are they going to take their sports programs to the Division I level? So that was a neat experience last night, I know, for the kids, and I even enjoyed it. So,
you know, the thing about Bellarmine, and you're absolutely right, they are fun to watch. And people say, well, you know, they're not high D1 and so on, but they play an exciting brand of basketball, and the kids they have in there are talented young men, and they're fun to watch. And he has done a fantastic job. He's put them on the map. People know about their basketball program. He's got a national championship that he's brought along. But the question for me becomes, somewhere down the road when he decides to call it a career, how do you find somebody to take his place? It's like, you know, Joe B. Hall, when I asked him about replacing Adolph Rupp and how lucky he was, he goes, no, I'm not the lucky one. The guy that replaces me will be the lucky one. I can't do enough to make the fans happy no matter what I do. So that's kind of what I see at that situation at Bellarmine. He has done so much with that program. How do you find the next guy to come in?
Absolutely. And let's quickly hit the summer league schedule for you today. A ton of varsity games. Varsity games start 2:30 at New Albany High School and 3:30 at Hazelwood Middle School. And by the way, these two schools are basically backed up to each other, so you can park and go to both facilities. 2:30, South Central takes on Shawnee. 3:30, Providence against Shawnee. 4:30, South Central against Meade County. 5:30, Meade County against Providence. 6:30, Tell City Seneca. 7:30, Tell City DeSales. 8:30, New Albany will take on DeSales in the final varsity game of the night at New Albany High School. Also, North Harrison against Kentucky Country Day at Hazelwood. That'll start things there at 3:30. Lou LaFay back in the area coaching the North Harrison team. Then Floyd Central will take on Crawford County at 4:30. North Harrison will take on Jeffersontown of Louisville at 5:30. Ballard will take on Crawford County at 6:30 at Hazelwood. And Floyd Central back in action later in the evening to take on Jeffersontown at 7:30, and one final game, Floyd Central. They have kind of a split varsity squad. They've got a third game tonight against Ballard, which should be a lot of fun. It should be, if Coach Sturgeon splits them as he has, the best collection of varsity kids returning for next year against Ballard. So that's kind of the highlight game. I look forward to seeing that one at 8:30 tonight. And again, come out, admission's $2. The crowds have been great. The games have been great. The competition's been really good. You see a lot of games and matchups that you won't see during the regular season, which is a great reason to involve the Louisville schools in this whole thing. And again, games are Mondays and Wednesdays at Moore High School in Louisville, Tuesdays and Thursdays at New Albany and at Hazelwood. And then tonight there's middle school games as well at Scribner Middle School from 5:30 on. So just a whole bunch of summer hoops going on right now. And there's one more week next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Thursday. Those are the headlines, the Hoosier headlines. And coming up, we have Ben Ladner of Inside the Hall in place of Alex Bozich to talk Romeo, Jawan, and their NBA prospectus. Also, some IU basketball headlines for next season as well. We'll chat with Ben next. IU basketball discussion coming your way right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Always with us Thursdays, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He is vacationing this week, so we have Ben Ladner of Inside the Hall, who did some tremendous work for Alex and the Inside the Hall website last season. Ben, it's great to catch up with you again. We look forward to talking some IU hoops here on our Thursday show.
Thanks. Yeah, it's great to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Well, we talked a lot in the first segment today about Romeo Langford getting the green room invite for the draft, which is next Thursday, and recently also about Juwan Morgan. He's had a number of NBA workouts over the last few weeks. I think he's got another couple scheduled as well, so he's up 6-7 teams that he has been in front of in his quest probably to not get drafted in the first or second round, more so to go through a free agency type process with the summer league and maybe get picked up on a preseason roster for next year and see what happens from there. But I don't know, I'm sure that I can speak for a lot of IU people, whether they're covering this or whether they're fans of IU, but it's been fun. But even though the season didn't end the way that everyone hoped with a trip to the NCAA tournament, it's not often you get to follow a very likely first round pick and his progress through and I know he's not had a lot of on-the-court stuff, but his progress through the process leading up to the draft, and also, of course, Juwan Morgan actually working out, going through some of that stuff for teams trying to find a home some which way in the NBA and see if he can make it there. Fun when you got two guys to follow, and they're very active and very much talked about in this process.
Yeah, I think it made that a fun storyline to follow during the season, you know, in addition to what IU's team was actually doing on the court, kind of trying to project forward, you know, what Romeo and Juwan are going to do at the next level, what maybe even other guys on this team could do at the next level in years to come. But yeah, now just kind of focusing on that with the college basketball offseason kind of in a dead period right now. It really is more of an NBA kind of focus on the basketball landscape right now. So as someone who loves the draft, someone who loves the NBA, it's been a lot of fun for me to follow. And, you know, I think having an idea, a better idea than most, I think, having covered Romeo and Juwan, you know, it gives me, and I think all Indiana fans, an interesting perspective just in terms of how they might translate to the next level. And that's been kind of fun to look at when you have two guys that you're so familiar with that have a chance to go to the next level.
Ben, share with me the best case scenario for Juwan and what expectations you have for where he ends up or what he ends up doing in the coming year.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that he probably won't be drafted later this month. You know, he's not the kind of guy that you can really bank on right now as like a surefire rotation player, and therefore I don't think is going to, you know, garner a second-round pick or, and certainly not a first-round pick either. I could be wrong, but it looks that way right now. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said he's going to play in summer league. He's going to try to pick up, you know, maybe a contract after summer league, try to stick on an NBA roster. I expect he'll spend some time in the G League at some point in the next year or two. The best case scenario in my mind is that he sticks on a playoff team, you know, with a smart front office, a smart coaching staff that really knows how to utilize him. But some of the onus too is going to be on Juwan, just in terms of figuring out his jump shot, because that's the biggest swing skill for him, is whether or not he can shoot the ball reliably at a league average rate in the NBA. And if he can do that, I think he's a really, really valuable kind of backup power forward kind of wing, maybe even small ball five type of player, because of his passing, his defense, his rebounding, and his toughness. I think all of that will translate to the NBA. It's just, can you put him on the floor in second units, you know, in lineups where you're not always going to have a ton of shooting, and he needs to be a guy that can space the floor. If not, you know, I don't think that the rest of his skills are so great that you're going to be able to mask his lack of shooting ability if indeed he can't shoot the ball. So, you know, I expect him to get there. I expect him to have a pro career, an NBA career for that matter. It's just a matter of at what point does he break into the NBA and crack a rotation, and at what point does he become a useful player. For me, it's a matter of when, not if.
Talking to Ben Ladner of Inside the Hall, a little NBA prospectus for Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford to start our conversation. As far as Romeo goes, the big news here has been getting invited to the green room. And I know you say you like the draft, you follow the draft. And again, it takes on a completely different feeling this year, I think, for a lot of people here in Southern Indiana and for a lot of IU fans everywhere as well, with Romeo in the draft, but especially for the people that have followed Romeo really since his childhood and started to hear about this really good basketball player at Scribner Middle School, and then obviously became part of the season ticket crew and all the crowds that flocked to New Albany High School over the years to watch him play. The Green Room invite, I know that's not anything concrete, not anything for sure. As Lee and I mentioned earlier, there always is somebody that's on national television looking a little smug because they maybe didn't get picked as high as they thought, or perhaps I can remember one case slipping into the second round, and that kind of gets you some negative publicity. The publicity of the Green Room is not meant to necessarily put forth, but I have to assume we are correct in telling everybody on this show and being excited for Romeo that he has gotten that invite. Although it's not anything for sure, it has to be really good news, or it should be taken, I would think, by Romeo and his supporters and fans as really good news.
Yeah, I think so. Worst case scenario, you know, I think Romeo is like a mid to late 20s pick, and that's the absolute worst case. I think he's, you know, a teen, like mid-teens, maybe early 20s type of guy. And, you know, in this draft, for me, I don't really see outside of the – I think there's a gulf between Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, and I actually think there's a pretty big gap between Ja Morant and the rest of the draft at this point. I'll have to do a little more research and see if I still think that at the other end of it. But, you know, when you talk about, like, the 4 to 12 range, I don't know that there's one guy in that group that really stands out and that you can really say is going to be definitively better than the other guys in that group. So, and I think the same is true from like 8 to 15, or however you want to, you know, draw these lines of stratification. So maybe a team feels like because there isn't like a surefire star, a guy that really pops in that, you know, lottery range, the late lottery range, maybe they feel like it's worth taking a chance on a guy like Romeo, you know, a guy who has some scoring skills, I think has some natural gifts, you know, some physical tools, and obviously just a overall good basketball ability, good feel for the game, a solid passer. Obviously we've seen he's a great scorer, and maybe a team feels like, hey, we can work with this jump shot. We can help him figure that out. We like the rest of his game, and maybe they feel like it's worth taking a shot on him at like 10 or 12 rather than 17 or 20. So I could see that happening. I just think that for a guy in Romeo's position, I think there are several guys in this draft like this. It's just there's such a large range of outcomes because different teams could feel different ways about different guys. And, you know, it only takes one team to feel like, hey, we like this guy more than the consensus, and we're willing to spend maybe a higher pick on him than a lot of teams would. That said, I think if it's me, I would feel comfortable with Romeo around that 12 to 16 range. I think that's where it's most likely he goes. I've seen him projected as low as, you know, 21 or 22. Seen him projected as high as 9 or 10. So it really is a wide range of outcomes for him. I think he's going to have a good pro career. It's just, you know, like a lot like Juwan, it's the jump shot. If the jump shot comes around, he might be an all-star. And if it doesn't, then maybe he's a backup two guard who kind of brings some scoring and some playmaking off the bench, but never really turns into anything all that special. So we'll see with him.
Ben, all drafts, whether it be the NFL, baseball, NBA, whatever, is a crapshoot at best. I think probably R.J. Barrett was the number one player going into the college season. Didn't end up that way. Zion has been the player that everybody's looked at. But you have so many people that are helping make this decision on who the draft pick is going to be for each of these franchises. And in addition to whether they win or not on the floor, their job depends on it. You make a couple of bad drafts in a row, pick kids of questionable character or who don't pan out, or the guy that's a can't-miss prospect ends up getting injured the first game, first half of the season. It is such a crapshoot that I'm glad my ability to eat and have a roof over my head doesn't depend on me being able to look at that talent and go, yeah, he's the one we need.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would call it maybe an educated crapshoot, because I think what's the important part is the process, right? It's, you know, you're not just kind of picking random guys and saying, okay, yeah, let's take Grant Williams with the 5th pick. You know, I think you put guys into buckets maybe of, this is where we feel their floor is. This is where we feel their ceiling is. This is where we feel they are right now. And so, you know, it's not a total crapshoot, because there are, you know, some guys are clearly better than others and they're going to be drafted higher than others. So I think maybe it's just it's certainly left up to chance quite a bit more so than free agency is or than the most NBA trades are. But the important part, I think, is the process. If you do your research, if you do your interviews, do your background, watch the tape, you know, look through the stats, kind of get a good idea on each prospect, fill out your board, and really know what you're looking at. I think for front office people and scouts and GMs and all that, I think they can live with being wrong if they feel like, hey, you know, we did our research on this guy. We thought he was going to end up reaching this level. It turns out he only got to this level. But we felt good about what we saw in him. We felt good about the rationale behind drafting him. And so I think you can live with that. And again, you don't always know. You don't know how a guy's going to turn out. A lot of it depends on the team itself. Do you have good player development guys? Do you have a good coaching staff? Is it an environment where the player can develop and flourish? A lot of it depends on the kid himself, not only his skills, but his character, you know, his instincts, his feel for the game, his love of the game, all that kind of stuff. So it's really, there's no way to be certain. I mean, even with a guy like Zion Williamson, he's probably going to end up being the best player from this class. But I don't think there's any guarantee he's going to be a top five player in the NBA or even a top 10 player in the NBA at any point in his career. And so you really can only know so much going in. And it's really, do you have, you know, a good rationale behind, do you have a good reasoning behind making your pick? And then you kind of just live with the results.
We're talking with Ben Ladner of Inside the Hall. He's joining us today in place of Alex Bozich on this Thursday edition of the program. Really good stuff, I think, on both Romeo and Juwan for the NBA draft, which is next Thursday in Brooklyn. Ben, have you ever been to the draft as a fan or to cover it for any reason?
I actually covered it last year with Sports Illustrated. I had an internship there for the summer, so I was running around getting, you know, videos and photos and interviews and all that kind of stuff I guess I was there the whole time, but mostly for kind of for the first round, kind of chasing guys down and talking to them and just kind of taking videos behind the scenes. So that was a lot of fun.
I've always been curious. It's one of the sporting events that, you know, I don't know that you really think to go to it, especially if it's that far away, unless you have a local player. And I thought, man, I'd love to go. I'd love to support Romeo, love to cover it, maybe get some stuff for the show. But I've got a whole bunch of other responsibilities too,
yeah.
And it's not something where there's a game, a result. You know, it's obviously an individual thing. But I've always been curious, what's the environment like on the inside if you're there covering it as the media, if you're in the bleacher seats as a fan or as a guest of one of the players?
Yeah, you know, there's a buzz around it. You know, that's kind of, it's an exciting time, obviously, for the players. And if you're a fan, if you get like a cohort of fans for a certain team, you know, when that pick gets made, you get the reaction to that. But really, after like the first 10 picks, it's kind of just, you know, it's kind of the same as watching it on TV, to be honest. And I will say, I was not on the floor for most of the draft, so I didn't really get the sense, you know, kind of on the outside, kind of what it was like. I was more kind of in the tunnels of the Barclays Center and things like that. So for the players, it's certainly an exciting time, and that's the thing that I saw the most. It's just, you know, the players celebrating with their families and with their friends and their future and previous teammates and things like that. The photo shoots, all, just kind of the excitement of realizing, okay, I'm an NBA player now. That was kind of what I saw. So I thought that was pretty worthwhile. But for most fans, I think it's, you know, maybe there is some value to going to it, but I think you can kind of get the same effect just by watching it on TV, to be honest.
Ben, is there any one player that has shown up in the mock drafts, or maybe not even the mock drafts, that in the back of your mind you're thinking this could be the next young man that steps up and just shocks everybody? Is there any one player that you saw in the NBA tournament or in regular season games that maybe not getting the notoriety that some of the others are?
Yeah, I don't think there's a guy like that in this particular draft. Okay. I mean, unless you want to say Zion Williamson, which I think we all know and all expect to be kind of that kind of guy. You know, John Morant, I think in most drafts would be maybe a top five pick, maybe top four, but I don't think he's the second pick in your average draft. I don't think RJ Barrett is a top five pick in your average draft. So to me, this is a draft that's not quite as good at the top, middle, or bottom as most drafts. It doesn't have the star talent, I don't think, as most drafts do. I think you're going to see a lot of guys from this draft, particularly the second round, not have particularly long NBA careers. So in this particular class, I don't think there's like a star that's kind of waiting in the weeds. I think the guys that are going to be stars, we kind of all, I think it's pretty clear which guys those are going to be. I would point to, if you want to talk about someone who's just going to be a valuable kind of solid rotational piece on an NBA team, a guy I've been watching a lot of film on recently and have come to like is Grant Williams of Tennessee. I just really like his defense and his playmaking from kind of that power forward spot. I think you can downsize and play him at the five for a few minutes a game, maybe not his rookie year, but kind of once he develops into a more established guy, gets his feet wet at the NBA level, I think he's a guy that can play two or three positions in the front court. And like I said, his playmaking, passing, his versatility on defense, I really like all that. So to me, he screams kind of elite role player, just a guy you can plug into almost any lineup, and he's going to be able to connect the dots and make things work with a lot of different types of people around him. But I don't think he's going to be an all-star. I don't think he's going to be an all-NBA kind of guy. I don't think he's the next Draymond Green, as much as people love to look for the next Draymond Green. So, yeah, I think there's really only two, maybe three all-stars in this draft. Maybe you could expand that to four or five if you want to say someone we don't know about yet is going to pop from the middle of the lottery. But I think it's you're not going to find many all-stars in the later selections of this draft, I don't think.
Ben Ladner, Inside the Hall, our guest. Ben, really good stuff, and appreciate you stepping in today for Alex, who is on vacation. Before we let you go, and correct me here if I'm wrong, you had some great coverage with Alex, who Lee Kelly was Alex's former teacher, and I've been a lifelong friend, I would say, of Alex Bilzich. But so some guys that know him well. I know you had just some tremendous work for him this year, and hear you talk about your internship at Sports Illustrated and things like that. It's clear to see that you're on a great path in this business. I think you're departing the coverage of the IU beat, and I want to talk a little bit about IU for next season before we let you go, if you have a few additional moments to spend with us.
But absolutely.
Tell us what's next for you, for those that have heard your name on this show and have read your coverage and Inside the Hall.
Yeah, so I'm not totally sure what's next, actually. I'm here in Atlanta for the summer, which is where I'm from, kind of just doing some freelance writing, doing some camps, some coaching, just kind of small-time stuff in Atlanta here, and, you know, just kind of waiting to hear back from a bunch of different jobs. So hopefully, best-case scenario, I'd be covering the NBA next season, but certainly open to kind of going anywhere and getting the career started from the ground level and working my way up. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I mean, covering basketball is kind of the plan from here. I feel reasonably confident that that's what I'll end up doing in the next few months here. It's just a matter of where and when.
Awesome stuff. Well, we sure wish you the very best. Let's dig into IU and talk about some off-season things to follow. You follow the team closely. You wrote about the team a lot. When you think about next season for IU, a program that's trying to get back to the NCAA tournament after a few years of coming up short of that goal, is there one or two biggest off-season storylines in your mind for the program and for the team next season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think number one is just how do you replace Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, that production that they brought, you know, being the centerpieces of the offense. I don't know that there's anyone on the team right now that's going to be able to step into those roles. And I think it's likely that one of Rob Phinisee, Devontae Green, or Al Durham kind of pops next season and becomes maybe more of an offensive focal point, but I don't think any of them will produce at the level that Romeo did or the level Juwan did. And I think all those guys maybe are going to take another year or two to kind of reach that level if they ever get there. I just don't see them as being that kind of talent. So, you know, to me, it's kind of who takes up those touches and those possessions that once went to Romeo and Juwan. And I guess I would kind of identify Al, Devontae, and Rob to soak that up in the backcourt. I think you're going to see Trace Jackson Davis get a lot of opportunity. I think Deron Davis is going to play a much bigger role next season than he did last season, just because, you know, he's kind of the undisputed starting center at this point. Really skilled big guy in the post, good passer, solid defender, can just do a lot of things on the court that help you win. And then the other storyline, I think, is just the shooting. I wrote about this the other day. I just don't see a lot of shooting on this roster right now, and it's certainly possible that someone pops and develops into a 38% three-point shooter. I just don't know who that is. And I think the guys I mentioned, those guards, Devontae, Allen, Rob, I think are all going to shoot the ball, you know, well. They're going to be solid shooters next year. I don't think any of them are going to be elite shooters. And I think if you look at the best offenses in college basketball last season, the one common, and I think this is going to be true next season as well, the one common denominator is they basically all have a dynamic guard who can shoot the ball off the dribble. And I just don't see that player on Indiana's roster right now. Again, maybe, Rob gets there. Devontae is sort of that guy right now. You know, he shot 41% from three last year, and a lot of those looks were off the dribble. He can do that, kind of coming off screens, you know, stretching the defense with his pull-up shooting. But he's really the only guy. And, again, even if all the guards shoot the ball well, you're still looking at a situation where, at most, you're going to have three capable three-point shooters on the floor at once. And so I just wonder what that does to the team's spacing. Are they going to have enough kind of flexibility on the court with those lineups to avoid what happened last year, which is defenses just loading up on Romeo's drives, double-teaming Juwan Morgan in the post because they don't have to respect the shooting of the other three guys on the floor. And so, to me, that's the biggest question. Like, that's going to be the biggest determinant of Indiana's offensive success to me is, do they have enough shooting, not only, you know, to be able to knock down open shots when they get them and get those 3 points that come with those shots, but also to provide the floor spacing and the gravity that you need to open up driving lanes and to open up the paint and to get other guys who aren't shooters, get them going and be able to run your offense, you know, that way. I just think shooting is such a necessary component to a healthy offense. And, you know, guys like Duran, I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to come in and make an impact. Guys like that, they're skilled enough, I think, to be able to work through some tight spaces and kind of mitigate some of the concerns that come with a lack of spacing, but they can only really do so much. And so, to me, you really need someone on this roster to step up and take not only, you know, make a higher percentage of their three-point shots, but take a higher volume as well and really be able to stretch that defense.
Ben, we're looking at June the 13th here. Is there any shooters left out there, either grad students or anybody else, that might be interested in coming to IU that might actually help them from outside shooting perspective?
Not that I'm aware. I couldn't give you any names off the top of my head. That doesn't mean that there aren't any out there, and I think the coaching staff is going to do their due diligence to try to find those guys. But right now, it kind of seems like they're going to save those scholarship spots and just roll them over to next season. If I remember correctly, that's what Archie Miller said at the Huber's Winery kind of speech that he gave. So I think the roster that Indiana has now is kind of what you're going to get next season. And so for me, you need some internal development, and you just need the guys who are currently on the roster to kind of step up and improve their own skills. But for me, if I'm the coaching staff, if I'm Archie Miller or, you know, Ed Schilling or anyone on that staff, I'm looking at, you know, anyone in the 2020 class that can stand on the perimeter and knock down a catch and shoot jump shot. And I mentioned this in the article I came out with the other day. Like, even if a guy's limited, even if he's not the greatest ball handler, or the biggest guy or the best defender or the greatest playmaker or whatever, if he can just stand still and space the floor, that guy is going to be extremely valuable to this offense just because there's not really anyone else on the team that can do that. And so I think if it's me, I'm willing to live with the limitations of, you know, a three-point specialist if it means that I get that benefit of added shooting.
Ben Ladner, Inside the Hall, great stuff on NBA prospectus for Romeo and Juwan Morgan and IU basketball for next season. Ben, we have enjoyed your work. I hope that there's some way our paths cross again in the future when you land your next full-time gig that we can connect again on the Hoosier Report. But great job well done covering the Hoosiers. Thanks for joining us a handful of times in replacement of Alex when he's been tied up or out of town. And we're pulling for you, man. We'll be following your work wherever you land.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you having me on. This is a lot of fun to talk hoops with you. So hopefully our paths cross again. I'm looking forward to speaking in the future.
Maybe you'll get hired as the beat writer wherever Romeo Langford selected. We can talk on a weekly basis. That would be great.
That would be all in favor of that.
All right, Ben, good luck to you. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk with you again, I'm sure, at some point.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly with you on this Thursday edition of the program. Lee is actually going to be filling in for me tomorrow so I can go to some basketball stuff all day. I appreciate that. We're going to head to a break and come back to wrap this program up. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final quick segment. Lee Kelly is with me on this Thursday program. Big night of Summer League action at New Albany High School, Hazelwood Middle School. I gave you the schedule earlier. I'll remind you of some of the big games coming up here in a second. But in our headline segment today, one other thing we wanted to go back related to IU football that we didn't get a chance, Lee, to talk about.
Yeah, we've got a young man that actually enrolled early a year ago, went through spring practice in 18, had a great spring here in 19, tore his ACL. His name is Jacoby Hewitt. Coaches said that he had had a really good spring, and they thought he was going to get some major playing time in the coming season. He's now on the shelf with the ACL injury.
Absolutely. That's not good news for IU football, but there have been some intriguing words about next season's team, specifically some recruiting advancements by Coach Allen. So that will be interesting to follow in the offseason as well. IU football, as far as a major sport, that's what's up next. The college football season, which is always fun, and we'll see where IU can hold up in the Big Ten this coming season. Summer League tonight, a lot of good games. I am specifically looking forward to Floyd Central and Ballard tonight, 8:30 at Hazelwood Middle School. New Albany also takes on DeSales. That's an 8:30 game at New Albany High School. A lot of other teams, South Central. I'm just naming off the Southern Indiana teams, South Central, Providence. Who else? Tell City, Matt Lynch, former New Albany assistant coach, North Harrison, Floyd Central, Crawford County, and some JV and freshman teams and middle school games as well. It's a huge night. A lot of games being played. First games actually begin at 1:30, some JV games at 1:30. Varsity games start at 2:30 at New Albany, 3:30 at Hazelwood. Will be a big night. Lee Kelly, I would not be surprised if I saw you down there watching some summer basketball.
Going to be down there tonight. Not a lot on TV, and hope to get home in time to see the NBA game. But I'll have plenty of time for that, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly will have the show tomorrow. He'll be on at 11 o'clock. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call will join him. Also, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Plenty to talk about. Lee will have that for you tomorrow. That's going to wrap things up. Be back tomorrow. Lee Kelly has it on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.